Father, we sang this morning of your son Jesus being the cornerstone foundation of what our lives are built on in you, and we want to thank you for that. And we just want to take time now to quieten ourselves and to recognize that you're here and that you have something to say to us as individuals and to us as a church through Andy this morning. And we just want to pray your blessing upon him. We pray your spirit will anoint him, and that the words that he brings will strike right to the point that they need to, as we think about the future of Dayspring and the whole issue of the foundations on which we're built and where we're going. So we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Well, I'm a bit blinded by the light there, so get out of the way. With Alan doing his thing this morning, and then Sarah doing the thing about Thy Kingdom Come, I actually feel like half my talk's gone.
Hey. You say it again, it's good for us.
Okay, well, actually, I've got it. Okay, I will, Rosie. If you didn't hear that, she said say it again anyway. It's an indulgence, this first bit. It's not really part of my talk, if you like, but it's something that sort of grabbed me over the last few days about Jesus. And I was got around to thinking about what is Jesus really like for me. So if I was going to say to my son or my daughters, this is what Jesus has been like for me over my life, what would I really actually say? What would I point out as what's he like? And I just, I asked Philippa this morning, just to put her on the spot, just getting up, and I just sort of tried to explain it to her. And I wanted you to have a little think about how you would describe Jesus for you. What is he like from your point of view and your experience of him over your life so far and your journey of faith so far, wherever you are on that? So, well, I actually want to just, if you would have a little chat to a couple of people next to you and just sort of say that, because as soon as Philippa answered the question, she answered the question for her this morning, and it connected with me, and I went, oh yes, that's actually how, that's something really foundational for me and what, you know, Jesus for me, and I'd have forgotten it. So I just wonder if you'd like to just take a couple of minutes to, I know you've just been chatting and you're having a slight rest now, but I'm sure you'll get to have a little chat and have a little chat, because I do want some feedback, because I actually will probably get reminded, we'll all get reminded, well, I'm hoping that we'll all sort of get reminded of different aspects, because you haven't got much time to say it all. And we'll get reminded of the different aspects of Jesus that have been important in our life and how we see him and so on. Because I think that we've got to just have a little bit better go at explaining it. So if you find it difficult, don't be surprised, because I asked Linda yesterday about this, and she actually found it really quite difficult to put into words, but you could see that she really meant that something had really happened. So have a little go at that for a couple of minutes, and then we'll have a little bit of feedback if people want to feedback for a minute. I'm not going to wear my voice out. Okay, does anybody want to start us off?
Well, we both had the same companionship, essentially. Faithful.
Okay. Companionship. Anybody else got something?
Yes. He's the prime example of what he should be. But we usually find it after we've done something wrong. What would Jesus do?
Example of what we should be.
Yes.
And then what did you say?
Well, when I've done something and I've realised it's wrong,
yeah, it's before you do something you ask what would Jesus do. So what happens when you've got it wrong, Roy? Sorry, AJ.
Sorry. We're still working on that bit beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're probably all there, aren't we?
Alan's point about the stars fixing there, doesn't it? That he said something to a friend that he was unhappy about. He was feeling bad about it, but God met him in that situation.
Okay, so are you telling us Alan's story or yours? Sorry, I'm not quite sure.
Alan's, because I thought it was relevant.
Okay, so how do we word that? Just
forgiveness.
Finding forgiveness. Yeah. And acceptance. Yeah. Anything else? Pam?
I was thinking there's so much depth there, because you can ask what would Jesus do and you wouldn't know the answer, so it gives you the chance to keep looking further and further into his life and there's always something new to discover and to look at something in a different viewpoint.
Okay, always new, whoops, spelled that wrong. Yeah, I am actually asking, I'm not asking what would Jesus do, I'm asking, what has Jesus been like? How do you describe what Jesus is like for you? Greg?
Two things. The first one is understanding. He understands me. Not misunderstands me, he understands me. So he knows my motives and my thinking and my reasoning.
Yep.
And the other one is, for me, he's always been consistent.
Okay, can we... Okay, so we'll say consistent.
So when I think to myself, you know... I think back to times when I've been relating to Jesus and I think, oh, well, if he's like that, he's like that now. And I realise he's the same. He's the same today, yesterday, forever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I mean, Alan's thing, we sang that song, you chose the one about faithful, and, you know, that people can talk about that. Anybody else? Tina?
Confidant.
Confidant. I hope I've got that right. Yeah. Okay, so you can confide in him and tell him anything. Okay.
It's not understandable.
Okay.
You can't really understand God, but you can understand Jesus.
Okay. Anybody else got anything?
Friends, the unloved as well.
Okay. How have you found that out?
I think it's been good in times when I've been feeling a bit low or feeling unloved, just in general, to know that somebody still does care about. I know other people obviously do care. So.
He loves me, and that sounds so trite, doesn't he? But actually, it's when you're low. When low, yeah, okay, comes into the faithful bit as well, doesn't it? So you found that. Wendy?
Faithful and a safe refuge.
Okay, safe refuge. I'll question that in my own experience, that what I used to think was safe and Jesus being safe aren't actually the same. His safety is different to my safety. Do you know what I mean? I feel that he...
Walking on the water. Yeah.
Falling out the boat, you know, or whatever, and he's not too... I actually felt that it was really important for the roof on my house to not leak, and I prayed a lot about trying to find out where the leak was, and I thought it was a real issue that he should help me sort out, and he wasn't bothered. And I was only reflecting on that the other day. I spent a lot of time praying about that. And so his priorities are different. What, Philip, you said to me, well, just wanna, what did you say to me this morning? Because that's a good one.
I said he makes me feel special. And he doesn't mind hanging out with me. And I never felt like I was in the popular group when I was at school or... But he filled me with his spirit, and it was amazing.
Yeah, you said it a bit differently, I think, this morning. Cheers, got it. The way it connected for me, though, was that I think both of us actually felt like we weren't... I would describe my life before I was a Christian as I was a nobody. I didn't feel I was anybody in particular. I was just a nobody. And he's made me a somebody. And when Phil said to me this morning, she said, well, I was never in the in-group, and I am not in the in-group, but I'm in the group and accepted, and suddenly there's life sort of starts. And I think I've been a somebody now so long, if you like, and I've forgotten there was a nobody, and that's maybe what his intention is, but it's quite good to have a look back at times. So that's just indulging me, thank you, because I just think that he is completely marvellous. He's my Jesus and he's your Jesus, and what's he really like? And I think we've got to perhaps be looking at that a little bit to try and explain. It made me really think yesterday when I tried to ask Linda this question and she couldn't quite articulate it. And I thought, yeah, it's really hard to articulate very deep and personal things sometimes. And yet actually, it's what he really does and what our faith really, you know, our faith in him changes us or helps us through and do stuff. And yet it's so hard to articulate, yet actually we're called to articulate it in some way. You know, in our life and the way we demonstrate it and stuff. So there you go. That was just, that's not really anything to do with the talk. But I think it is, and I was absolutely gobsmacked that Alan, you really focused on that this morning. So I thought, oh, well, thank you. That's a good starter. What I titled my talk is Foundations of Building. Because when you build a building, you have to lay some foundations and then you build the building on top of the foundation so that it stays up, and if you get difficult circumstances, weather conditions, it doesn't fall down. And we've been looking over the last number of weeks now, and with the snow and stuff, it's probably turned into months, but we've been looking at our story of Dayspring and how we've got to where we are today, what's been influential in terms of prophetic input and God speaking to us and leading us and guiding us and the sort of church we are, right up until last week when Dave Sandberg was talking even about being a Minster church. And I will just go, for those of you that weren't here last week, I will just briefly mention that in a moment. However, just a couple of things to sort of lay it out for me, because I've got a little bit of a, I suppose I'm going to try and review and sort of say where we're at, where I think we're at with all of this. So there are two parts of the New Testament, one in Ephesians 2:20 around there, and also in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10 where it talks about being talks about foundations of church. And in 1 Corinthians it focuses, in Ephesians it focuses on the apostles and prophets being, you know, the church is founded, built on those foundations done by the apostles and prophets. And it mentions Jesus as being the chief cornerstone. Now, cornerstone is one that you line everything else up with, so you put the cornerstone in first. It's not concrete, okay? They weren't using concrete technology in this illustration. So you're actually putting stone, big stones down slightly underground to, you know, make the whole building stable. So that's how the analogy goes. So Jesus is the chief cornerstone, cut stone to give you a line one way and a line the other way, and then he's put in place. And then, of course, other foundation stones are put in place so you can build the rest of the walls up on top of it. And I think that with Dayspring, we've actually been building those foundations over the last 20 years, and we'll just go through them very briefly in a moment. We have done that over the last few weeks. A little phrase that was in 1 Corinthians, though, was where Paul was saying, look, he says, I've got it quoted, actually. Where is it? Hold on. No, wait a minute. Yes. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise and expert or master builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care on top. And so he's saying, look, I've put foundations in place, obviously with Jesus as lining the whole thing up, and we know he's our foundation, but the apostles and prophets actually do lay out the values and the ethos of a church, and that churches are different, have different callings and so on. So Paul's been doing that, but he says, look, I've done the foundations, but there's another phase to come, and other people, if they're going to build on top of it, got to build carefully. And there's another phase. So I think there's two phases, foundations and then the actual building, and they do look a little bit different. Same footprint, same space, same, you know, they occupy the same space on land, they're going to be the same shape. If it's a rectangular building or circular building, it's going to stay that because the foundations are going to describe that. So a whole range of similarities, but then what the actual building looks like as it goes up into the air is not described by the foundations, it's described by the building itself. So that's my analogy, if you like, as to sort of where we're going, that we're going from one phase to another. Now, are we really going from one phase to another? So these are this very, very briefly, you won't have time really to read all of this because I'm going to whip through it really. I mean, we've seen some of this stuff before, but building structures for conditions which do not yet exist. These are all a number of prophetic words that we have had and we've sort of collated really. So Dave had this one, he talked about this a few weeks ago, every place your foot treads, he told us about getting mud on his shiny shoes and all of that sort of stuff on one particular day, feeling God speaking to him. And then we talked about, you know, we had various pictures of the fire coming out of Sheldon School, which is where we used to meet as a church, planting into peoples, not parishes. You know, a network church really, rather than just a particular parish church that has a boundary. Rising up, Isaiah 58, really important. No strings attached, that's something where we've always done things for free, and not just not doing things for free, but not tying people in with an expectation of that they must join us or something, but that, you know, we're just doing this for the kingdom, and so on. Then I reckon that's your arm. When I was going through these prophetic things, though, I began to look at them, and as I read them, I thought to myself, somebody's just going to check, by the way. All right. I began to look at these prophetic, these lists, and then we used this. Oh. Everybody's going. Everybody's got a car. All right. That's really encouraging, by the way. I really appreciate that. Thank you. This picture hasn't turned out too well, really, on the screen. But this picture was to illustrate the thing about Noah putting structures in place for conditions that don't yet exist. And as I was reading through all of this list of prophetic words and the different things that we've got and things we've done, I know we've done some of them, this picture suddenly stood out to me, because if you know Chippenham at the moment, we have for 20 years had this single two-way carriageway on this side, and this side of this bridge there's just been grass all the way down this road. It's about a mile long on that particular section, but it's part of the overall bypass that goes from the north of Chippenham all the way around almost to the south near Lackham College. And as I saw this, I thought to myself, oh, this bridge is now coming into its own, because they're building the dual carriageway all the way around. And so this whole statement that we've got about building, putting structures in place for things that don't yet exist, ooh, they exist. So it made me start to think about, some of the other things, really. So there are all sorts of stuff that you can see there. Singing to the well, this valley of dry bones, place of Wiltshire like a desert, spiritually and stuff like that. I think quite a lot of those sort of things have changed over this last 20 years. And, that one being a resource church, I know Dave was talking about that. That picture there is actually it's a little bit of water coming out of a pipe, but actually it's just coming straight out of the ground. The pipe's just been shoved in there so it doesn't trickle down into mud and the sheep are coming to drink. It's a spring. And Carol was on about that the other week, about springs being across and stuff. Then we even had people do drawings of Wiltshire with God sort of saying, look, there are these different places we know, and God's got his finger on the thing. And then we got into, I don't know if you can see these, that's Philippa actually, he was trying to make something there. Here's an early picture of Andy Cannings as we were trying to explore stuff prophetically, really, and trying to explain. There's an early picture of me. I just thought I'd balance that up, Andy, so you weren't on your own. It's Philippa's fault that I was let out like that. Is that right? Yeah, okay. Marion was on about the sleepy spirit, Chippenham. This is a postcard that if you're troubled with sleeplessness, come to Chippenham, and you won't be troubled at all because you'll fall asleep wherever you are. And we used that and we said, look, you know, it's really quite sleepy spiritually. There's a spirit of that sort of thing that just means that you're just not really got energetic, you're not going to go and do stuff. And I think that we've really sort of broken through that. And we even had Wake Up Sleepy City in those things. And I think that, hold on, I just want to go, go back one. How do we go back? Previous, there we go. So, you know, we've had those sorts of things, we've had all of this input. Have we actually achieved quite a lot of these things? Are we actually doing them? So if you look at the call to the county, we've got a bus and it goes across the county to different bits of it. We're making a good effort at doing that. Okay, working with other churches, the Thy Kingdom Come stuff, working with other churches, Cabaret Connection, working with other churches. We have an open door, same thing with Open Blue, the bus project. Work with other churches, no problem. You know, that's what we want to do. We're happy to do that sort of thing. So we've got all of those things going on. And that's too much text, really, so we'll leave that. So there's a lot of stuff we've done. So if we've actually worked on the values as we've done these things, and we've worked out our ethos about it, the foundations, I think, are pretty well in place. And I feel like we are in a position where we're in a good position because the foundations are down. But what's going to happen next? Now, the foundations have been laid with a plan. God's got a plan. He's led us into this. I mean, none of us, I think, would say, oh, we were really up for this. You know, we are up for it, but sorry, that's not quite the way it goes. We are up for it, but we didn't expect it necessarily, but we found it welling up within us. We found the prophetic word of God confirming it and overlaying it and saying, well, and we've wrestled with things like, how are we supposed to go to a county when we're only about 70, 80, 90, 100 strong? I don't know quite, never know quite how strong we are really. So, do you see what I mean? And we've wrestled through that, but I think we're in a good place with the foundations. But what's next? And I was really struck by Dave Sandberg's thing about Minster Church. And for those of you that weren't here last week, that was brilliant, because he tried to explain it to me previously, but actually I listened to the talk over the week, because I was doing teens last week, and he said it so concisely. He just went, Minster Church, he just said the different types of church. There's parish church, which is, you know, the little boundary thing, you know, you meet in a certain area. There's oikos churches in a house, and then there's cathedral where you go to big events and stuff like that. But he said Minster was this. It was the earliest form of missional church. It had a passion to worship, but not just worship as in singing, but worship as in serving, worship as in doing stuff for other people. It was actually taking the presence of God out into the community. So it's not sitting around waiting for people to come in. It was actively pushing out. Serving beyond ourselves. That is a concept that I think is totally alien in our culture. Serving beyond ourselves. We only serve ourselves, don't we? But we are called to serve beyond ourselves. Amazing. Good stuff. Resources for the community. So we thought we were, I was talking to Dave about this, well, he was talking to me about it. He just sort of said last week, he said, resource church, you know, we are a resource church. And we often talked about being a resource church for other churches. Well, you know, when we went out with the bus, we'd resource other churches. The bus was a resource. Well, actually, what we're really finding is that God's called us to be a resource for communities. We're actually a resource for Wiltshire with the bus. So, you know, we're being that. And focused on the region was another element of Minster Church. We are. Whether we like it or not, Dayspring is focused on Wiltshire as a whole county. And so I say to people, well, I have to say on occasions, or I have it in my mind, I probably don't actually say it, but when we're going to take the bus to somewhere and there's another church already working there, some guys, I have had it with the first bus, where they've got a bit sort of agitated because another church is moving in, is what they think. And they get a little bit defensive. And you know, and their view is, this is my patch. And my answer is, but it's my patch too, because I've got the whole of Wiltshire. You know, because that's what God's called us to do as a whole church. So that was the Minster church that I thought really worked in well. I'll just repeat this just so I make sure I've not missed anything out. But the foundations and then the building, what does the building look like? Well, it'll have the same layout. The building will have the same layout as the foundations. It'll have the same footprint. Although as it rises, others will notice it more. But my question is, what are they going to notice? Okay, so as the building comes, if you've just got foundations in, nobody can see it really. But as the building begins to rise, people begin to notice it more. What's it going to look like? And that is a good question for us to ask, and I think that's part of our phase. Who knows? But this is where we are in the phase, I think. Now, I was led to, in some way, I don't know how this happened, but Acts chapter 16, verse 13, it says this. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate to the river where we thought we would find a special place for prayer, and some women are gathered there, so we sat down and talked with them. And a church begins, as it happens on that one. I actually took I take scripture like Jesus does and change it to the way I want it to be. So I take out of this that we need to find a special place of prayer. Okay, we need to find one. Oh, we've got Thy Kingdom Come coming up. And probably we've also got to engineer one for later. So that's I've used the scripture, you see, just to bounce off and say, we need to find a special place of prayer. We're being called to prayer. And I read, let me just check that I've got, yes, get rid of that. The Archbishop of Canterbury has called this Thy Kingdom Come thing, but do you know that he has a chaplain? Now, I know about chaplains because I work with the army. They have chaplains. Hospitals have chaplains. You know, all sorts of organisations have a chaplain. Very odd that the top man of the Church of England has a chaplain, isn't it? I thought that was quite odd to begin with. What is the chaplain for? And the chaplain is to enable the Archbishop of Canterbury to focus on prayer. Just stunning, really, but brilliant, I think, because what they've done is strategically they've gone, Archbishop, very busy chap, wants to focus on prayer, but will probably get distracted about 1,000 times a day, needs somebody to keep him on track, need to employ someone, we'll call them a chaplain. Right, what's your job description? It's to keep the Archbishop and all his team on track with prayer, at least 3 times a day, guy, you know, so. And the Reverend Isabel Hamley is that person. And she has that role to keep people on prayer. So this is what she says. Said, we have to be rooted in prayer so we can be rooted in God. I just think, I was just sort of like, oh, yes, it's good. She also says some other stuff that actually connects with what we're doing, right? Okay, let me just read some of these bits. The question here is there a typical day for you, Isabel, as the Archbishop's chaplain? Answer, there isn't really a typical day. If you think that there is, then something will happen and the diary will change. That's the joy of it. We pray 3 times a day in the chapel. Normally I'm there unless I'm out and about with the Archbishop. The meetings all stop for prayer. Question, why is that? Answer, if we don't pray, there's no point in doing anything that we do here. We have to be rooted in prayer so that we can be rooted in God and rooted in the story that we're trying to tell. It's easy to be seduced by the shiny, glittery things because we meet people who are famous. You can get swept up in that. Remembering that you can't do anything without Jesus is important in a place like this. And it's really important for us, I think, at this point in time too. We can't do anything. We might have the bus, we might have cabaret connections running nicely, we might do a good job with Thy Kingdom Come and other churches coming in, but really, we can't do anything without Jesus, because Jesus is important in a place like this. And then there's this question. What would you say to people who, in the light of the recent terrorist attacks and the Grenfell Tower fire, say, what's the point of prayer? Answer, what's the point of prayer is a good question. All too often we think of God as cosmic Santa who can grant our wishes. The point of prayer is joining with God in what he is doing in the world. Mm. Haven't we heard that phrase somewhere before? Joining in, finding out what God is doing and joining in. That's been one of the things, guys, if you've not been with us, that we have been banging on about for a while. I even did a painting of it, of a little boy digging the garden with his dad. We're joining in with finding out what God is doing and joining in. And here's this lady going, the point of prayer is joining in with God in what he is doing in the world. It's not arm wrestling him to do what we want, but to find our place in what he is doing. This is gold. This is gold, I think. It's just amazing. I don't need to prepare at all. I just have to read this little document. I do, but she says, she goes on, I do believe in answered prayers, but there is an essential mystery of why God allows things, and we have to be careful not to give trite answers to that. And then she also says this other bit, which I think you guys have covered a bit with this really, of the background to it, which is, personally, I like the book of Job because it shows us what we all do wrong when we try to answer the question, why? Job never finds out why he suffered. The people around him try to give answers, but they get it all wrong, and Job doesn't have an answer, but he carries on talking to God. Brilliant. Now, I think that God is calling us to prayer. I don't know what the next phase is going to look like, or what the building, if you like, is going to look like in Dayspring, but I do think we're at like a phase shift, a change in phase. And so I'm really calling you to pray. I've got some helpful little hints. Okay. One of the things I found recently in my call to prayer, in actually preparing this, if you like, was this. I have found that praying on the toilet is okay, but it's not the best. Sorry, I didn't mean that to be funny, but obviously it's funny. I found that praying while driving is good, but it's not the best for me. I can't speak for you, but what I found is that if I try to double up prayer with another activity so that I can carry on my life, but I can pray as well, I'll be a good Christian, pray and I'll tell you all, I've prayed for you, yeah, I did whilst I was driving, and all that sort of stuff. That's okay, it's not bad. It keeps me connected. But the thing that's really been dynamic for me has been when I've gone, okay, Lord, what I'm going to do is I am going to stop my life and all the things I'm doing just for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is. I don't normally time it because it always goes wrong at that point, doesn't it? But I'm going to stop and I'm just going to try and give you some focus time, nothing else. And that's been really good. And if you ask me to articulate it, I can't do more than that because a whole bunch of things have sort of happened out of it. So actually, literally just giving some time has been really good. And I've managed to do it, I think I've managed possibly 3 consecutive days of doing that without missing a day, which I think is pretty good for me. I don't know how you find it, but it is hard. And I've also asked the question, why is it so hard when I know it's good for me? Because I find a real energy in it. After, you know, it's not immediate. It's not like, do you know what I mean? I do it, and that's okay. And then I have some thoughts probably 12 hours later or a day later or something, or I do it for a couple of days. And then I realize that I'm starting to get energized by this. But what then? I get to that point. Why is the day 3 so hard? To actually go, okay, I will give up some more of my life to pray. Well, I don't know why it's so hard, but it is. And you just sort of have to try and battle on. Okay. Thy Kingdom Come begins on Thursday. Wouldn't it be great if we could really get involved in different ways? Now, we all live different sorts of lives, and it's maybe difficult to actually get to the offices. Or it might be dead easy. Who knows? You know, if you're working, you never, during the daytime, you're not on a night shift or something. If you're working during the day, you ain't going to make it during the daytime, are you? Because you're going to be at work. It's pretty obvious. If you've got kids and you're on your own with the kids, you're not going to get out in the evening either. So I've got a few things. I've got some, actually, I'm going to give these out now. Oh, can you do that? Mary, I won't ask you to do that now. let's just, Dawn, can you hand some out? And AJ, can you just hand some out the back? I don't know if there's enough. I've done 30, so you may have to share. I'll read them out anyway now.
Yes.
Here's the thing you could do. You could start praying at home, okay, now, before Thy Kingdom Come goes. Because if you're going to go to Thy Kingdom Come and other people are going to be around you praying, then you will look a lot better because you'll be practiced.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you've practiced praying before you get there, it's like going to the gym. If you've done a bit of exercise before you go, you won't look a complete idiot when you're there. So praying before you get there is quite good. Get a bit of practice in. My second one is practice praying. Do short bursts, in short bursts. Try to things to pray for, and also try to have some time to listen and try different ways of praying, because you've got to try different things before you find out which is a good way of praying really for you. I quite often, if I sit down on the sofa and try and pray, I become like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane rather quickly and slip off to sleep. And I just find that you just beat yourself up afterwards, don't you? So walking around is good for me to pray, I know that. So, but kneeling might be good, or sitting might be good, or standing, walking, or cycling, whatever does it for you. Plan to pray at certain times, like when the evening sessions are running, even if you can't be there. So with Thy Kingdom Come, if you actually go, oh, I'm going to try and plan that so that even if I can't be there, I'm going to pray at the same time as them. That's quite a good thing, because you feel it. Put it as a priority to be involved somehow. And I thought this one, the number five is, make the effort like you would arranging a holiday, which it sort of is, because it's a holy day. I just thought I'd do a pun there. That didn't get a laugh then, no, never mind. It's not that funny, is it? Okay, there we go. But if you were going on a holiday, and you really wanted to go on a holiday, you'd sit down, get the diary out, work out when you're off work or when you can go. You work out what the kids are doing, and so on and so forth. Do you know what I mean? You do all of the planning. So what about doing it a bit like that, thinking it was a holiday or a holy day and stuff like that? Then the other thing, which is pretty obvious these days, give it a go, give prayer a go, but Google it. How to pray, how to meditate, how to do active prayer. There's so much out there to help you, and some of it could even be from other religions, but you know, because they took over the Christian practice of meditation and stuff like that. But you know, there'll be some good stuff out there, not just from Christians, I think. Although don't get hung up about that bit. You know, there's plenty of Christian stuff. There's a lot of rubbish Christian stuff out there as well. Never mind. you'll just have to work that out. But it's good to Google it, because you can find out what other people are doing really quickly, and you don't have to phone anybody up. And then what about setting up a WhatsApp prayer group, or just texting your prayers to other people? I've been involved in that. I remember Katrina, she would get us a bit. Katrina did to me once, because I was sort of saying something, and I was really saying I needed prayer about something, and Katrina just texted a prayer back to me. Oh, that was really cool. I just thought, oh, that's really good. Write down your prayers if you don't pray them out loud, you know, all of these sorts of things. Now, I've got a real sense, which might not carry much weight with you, but I feel that if we as a church grab a hold of this, not just the Thy Kingdom Come, but we enter a phase of prayer, I think that God's going to speak to us about how we go forward for the next bit, that all of these prophetic words that we've had there have done good for us, and they're going to, you know, but quite a lot of them are already complete. What's going to be next is really, I think it's going to be quite an exciting time, really. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, the other thing I think we've got to do about prayer is that after we get this initial surge with Thy Kingdom Come, and we've got as a church to develop our way of praying while we are being missional, so that we don't lose, you know, you've got to be rooted in God, you've got to be able to carry the message. And we've got to learn how to do that. And I think that we've possibly been a little bit weaker on that over the last few years, maybe. I don't know. Prayer's been rising up a bit this year, so that's been a really good thing, and God's been really stirring us, I think. So he's stirring us, you know, there's not just me that's getting stirred about prayer, but I know others of you have been, and some of you will have been praying all the way through it, going, what's he on about? But I think we've got to try and develop that, along with our missional position of the bus, cabaret connections, and so on. We've got to be able to pray in these situations. Okay? So, outside on the table in the middle where we had coffee, there's a bit of a sign-up sheet. Now, some of you will be able to today actually go to that and look at your, get your phone out and do your diary and work out when you could actually sign up for that, even now. And some of you will obviously have other responsibilities where you've got to check with people as to what you can do and what you can't do. So please do that. And I was trying to work out how I would deal with that sign-up sheet if I couldn't decide today. And I think probably the way I would deal with it is that I would give Dave Sandberg a ring on Monday morning, well, not Monday morning, not tomorrow morning because it's bank holiday, but Tuesday morning I'd probably ring him up and say, Dave, I've been thinking about the prayer. I could do so. I could be there at such and such a slot. Could you sign me in, please? Or send him an email or a text or whatever you do. And just be intentional about actually getting involved with prayer. So I think it's, good stuff. I think we'll pray. It'd be quite good to pray after talking about prayer, wouldn't it? So, Father, I don't know about everybody here because I don't know everybody here, but I do know that you're calling us as Dayspring to, or I do really feel that you're calling us as Dayspring into a time of prayer. That's got to develop and become something that's really helps us with all of our missional work over the next 20 years. And I pray for prophetic release, that we'll begin to dream dreams and see what you are doing, that heaven will open for us in terms of understanding where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing next. That you will encourage us, you will help us to overcome the mistakes that we make in this process, that you'll give us hearts of real grace and mercy towards one another and to others that are coming in, and you really help us to work this through as best as we possibly can, Lord, because I think we really do want to be up for it and for the whole county. Amen.